Something in my life, oh Lord.
Do something in my life, oh Lord.
Oh,
do something in my life. Do something in my life. Do something in my life, oh Lord.
Oh,
do something in my life. Do something in my life. Do something in my life. Oh Lord.
What can I do
without you, oh Lord? What can I do without you, oh Lord?
Oh,
what can I do without you?
What can I do
without you?
What can I do
without you, oh Lord?
What can I do
without you?
What
can I do without you?
What
can I do without you, oh Lord?
He's the King in my life, oh Lord.
He's the King in my life, oh Lord.
Oh,
be the King in my life.
Be the King in my life.
Be the King in my life. Oh Lord.
Oh,
be the King in my life.
Be the King in my life.
Be the King in my life. Oh Lord.
The Lord of my life.
Lord of my life, oh Lord.
Oh, be the Lord
of my life. Be the Lord of my life.
Oh, be the Lord of my life.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, be the Lord of my life.
Be the Lord of my life.
Oh, be
the Lord of my life. Oh, Lord.
Calvary,
Jesus is bearing me. Burdens are lifted at Calvary.
Oh, Calvary,
Calvary.
Oh, burdens are lifted at Calvary.
Jesus is bearing you.
Oh, burdens are lifted at Calvary.
Oh, Calvary.
Oh, Calvary.
Oh,
burdens are lifted at Calvary.
Oh, Jesus is bearing you.
God bless you, brother.
Amen. Let's stand on our feet. Let's worship him this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing the song, You Are Alpha and Omega. Amen.
You are Alpha and Omega. We worship you, Lord. You are worthy to be. Oh, you just sing from your heart this morning, amen. Oh, you are Alpha and Omega. Oh, we worship you, oh Lord. You are worthy to be. Oh, once more, you are Alpha. You were Alpha and Omega. We worship you, oh Lord. You are worthy to be. Oh, we give you, we give you all the glory. We worship you, oh Lord. You are worthy to be. Oh Lord, we give you, we give you all the glory. Oh, we worship you, oh Lord. You are worthy to be. Oh, you are Alpha, you are Oh, and Omega. Oh, we worship you, oh Lord. You are worthy to be. Oh, you are Alpha, you are Alpha and Omega. Oh Lord, we worship you, oh Lord. You are worthy to be. Oh, we give you all the glory. Oh, we worship you, oh Lord. You are worthy to be. Oh, Lord, we give you, we give you all the glory. We worship you, oh Lord. You are worthy to be praised.
Oh, how many believe this morning as well with your soul? Let's sing the song as well with my soul. Amen. Hallelujah.
When peace like a river attended my way, oh, when sorrow like billows roll, whatever my Lord, oh, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, oh, it is well, it is well, it is well, oh, with my soul, with oh, it is well, it is well, oh, with my soul. Don't say that should buffer, don't try, you should come. Let this blessed assurance control, that Christ I'll drink God in my endless thirst and I'll shed His own blood for my soul. Oh, it is worth it. It is worth. Oh, with my soul. Oh, with my soul. Oh, it is worth. It is worth with my soul. Oh, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious storm. My sin, not in part, but the whole, nailed to the whole, and I bear it no more. Oh, praise the, oh, praise His name, praise the Lord. Oh, my soul, oh, it is worth, it is worth, it is worth, oh, with my soul, with my, oh, it is worth, it is worth, it is worth, with my soul, and Lord, as the day when my faith shall be inside. Oh, the cloud, the cloud be rolled back as a crow. Oh, you slow the trial shall rise. Oh, and the Lord shall descend. Oh, even so, even so, it is worth with my soul. Oh, it is worth, it is worth. Oh, it is worth. Oh, with my soul, with my soul. Oh, it is worth. Oh, it is worth. With my soul. Oh, but this for thee, for thy coming we wait. Oh, the sky in all the gray, oh, is our goal. Oh, yes, Lord, all the shine, all the end. Oh, the voice of the Lord is worthy. It is worthy. It is worthy. When my soul, oh, when my, oh, it is worthy. It is worthy. Oh, when it is worthy. When my soul, oh, it is worthy. Oh, it is worthy. Oh, it is. Oh, with my soul, with my soul, with my soul, oh,
with my soul. It's a good testimony. It is well with my soul. May not be well in your body, may not be well in your circumstances, but as long as it's well in your soul, everything has to work out well. Everything has to come out right. The prophet says it all pays off in the end. And that's what it is. You know, you sometimes in the middle you don't understand, but it prays comes out well in the end. Thanksgiving saints, I'd like to thank you for your prayers. Giving thanks to the Lord, He has provided me with a job. There's Sister Dube. We do thank the Lord, Sister Precious, for that. Prayer requests. Brother David's not feeling well. He's really asking for prayer. He can't make the service. Sister Julia and the children asking for prayers. They're traveling to Zimbabwe this Friday. So a lot of people away at this time. May the Lord be with them. Visitors, Brother Guy from Mayo is with us today. God bless you, brother. Nice to be with you. Hallelujah. We've got some Bibles to be dedicated as well. Let's come before the Lord. Let's all put ourselves before the Lord this morning. We thank Brother Max Jr. for song worship. Let's come, put our hearts before the Lord. Let's seek the grace and mercy of the Lord and everything that is said and done. And we pray for these Bibles as well. Let's all pray. Father, we come unto thee upon this day, just that being our desire, that being, Father, what we just wish to thank you for. Bring it all before thee, Lord, at this time. Father, I just long, Lord Jesus, just take the agenda, just work all things out according to the working of your will. Just be glorified, Lord. I'd seek it and ask and pray, Father, at this time, Lord. Father, I know that your strength is made perfect in our weakness. That's how we're looking unto thee and waiting upon thee, Lord. In Jesus' name, Father, for your glory. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. Father, once again, that we can come unto thee and pray. Father, firstly, Lord, to thank you for your grace, to thank you for your mercy, even as has been said upon this day by Brother Max, another week that you've given us. Father, another day that we can come in service unto thee, another day that we can worship thee. Father, we know one day these things will be memories. So, Father, we do appreciate and thank you for every opportunity that we have. But, Father, as we'd come upon this day, we just want your will to be done. Father, that is the great desire of our souls, Lord. Father, we do not want the program of man. We do not want the thoughts of man. We do not want, Father, anything, Lord. Father, but we just want you. We just want your thoughts. We want your purposes. We just want your spirit, Lord. We just want you to move and to work. We just long that you'd have your wonderful way. Father, we just want to lay aside everything else. Just come and bring ourselves before thee, lay everything upon the altar, and just say, Lord, have the preeminence upon this day. Be glorified in the midst of your people. Be glorified in your people, Lord. Speak unto us through your word. Father, reveal your mind, your thoughts, your purpose, your will. Help us at this time in the needs that we have, Lord. With Brother David, Lord, we just, Father, come unto thee at this time. Lord, it's nothing for you now, Father, just to look down in his situation. To change that, Lord, touch him, Lord, we'd ask and pray for mercy upon him. Our sister traveling, Lord, with the children, bless them. Give them a wonderful time. Give them traveling mercies, Lord. Bring them back refreshed and filled up with the good things of God would be our desire. Father, we thank you for our sister that you've given her a job. Bless her in that job. Father, you give from your hand and it's a blessing. So, Father, we thank you for these things, Lord. Now help us, Lord. Father, we're looking unto thee. Be with us as your people. Them gathering in like manner. We think of them upon this day, right from the south with Brother Christian, through Brother Tom's church, Lord, Brother Billy, Brother George Quinn. Bless your people. Be with your people, we ask and we pray. Father, and we waiting upon thee in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Sorry for these Bibles, Father. We bring these Bibles up unto Thee. Father, this is Your Word. But Father, outside of Your Spirit and outside of Your grace, it doesn't do any good unto us. So Father, we pray that whosoever would own these Bibles, Lord, when they would open up the pages of these books, Lord, that You would open up their understanding. Father, we pray that You would anoint their eyes. We pray that You would help, Lord, this Word to come from being ink upon the page to being manna to their souls, to being light unto their path, to being, Father, all that they need in any situation they'd find themselves in. May these Bibles be a blessing unto them, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Saints, let's open our Bibles to the book of Numbers, chapter 22. We've got two different parts of the service today. Just wanted to get into a thought on the Word, certain questions and certain things, just to take a thought and then get on to just a bit of a business side of things of the relocation of our church, and just want to put something to the saints today because we need the saints to help us a little bit. But first, we wanted to get into the Word because it's always good to get into His Word. Numbers 22 from verse 12. This is the story of Balaam and Balak and coming before the Lord. And God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, get you into your land, for the Lord refuses to give me leave to go with you. And the princes of Moab rose up, and they went unto Balak and said, Balaam refuses to come with us. And Balak sent yet again princes, more and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said to him, thus saith Balak the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. For I'll promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Now therefore, I pray ye, tarry ye also this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. That was his great mistake. When God had spoken to me, he didn't need to go back and say, let me see what else the Lord will say to me. And God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, thou shalt do. Let's also read Isaiah 55 from verse 6 to verse 9. You know, sometimes we get used to these scriptures, but they're such important principles of God's Word that if they could become flesh in us, it would keep us from so many things in our lives which the Lord never intended us to go through. Isaiah 55 verse 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Let's finish with Psalm 33, just verse 11. Just to remind ourselves of this principle, Psalm 33, verse 11. It says, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. May the Lord bless his word. You may be seated. So the scripture is clearly showing us one thing. God doesn't change his mind. God never changes his mind. God cannot change his mind. In the church ages, we know it. The prophet says, the eternal thoughts of God. He says, let me ask you, are the thoughts of God eternal? If you can see this, you will see many things. God is unchangeable in both essence and behavior. God has never changed. God has never had a new thought. He says he has never had a new thought about anything because all his thoughts he has always had and always will have. And he knows the end from the beginning because he's God. So God has never had a new thought about you. He's never had a new thought about me. When God thinks about you and your situation, when God thinks about you and your life, God's thoughts are eternal and they are real. Amen. Nothing can change those thoughts. Amen. But God has two different levels of dealing with people. God has His perfect will, which is His thoughts, which is His original thoughts, the prophet says, His perfect original plan for you. But God also has another level, that if you persuade Him hard enough, God has His permissive will. God has a certain area, a certain way of dealing with you and with me, where He'll give us permission to do certain things, but it was never His will for us to do those things. And that now is a dangerous realm to work in. You know, the prophet, he speaks about that in the message, does God ever change His mind about His word? And he says there's places in the scripture where it would seem that God changed His mind, but God can never change His mind. It's like when Isaiah came to King Hezekiah and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set your house in order, you shall die and not live. And then Hezekiah set his face to the wall and he sought the Lord and he prayed and he said, Lord, I've walked before you with a perfect heart. You know, I've tried to serve you all the days of my life. Give me another 15 years. And the Lord sent Isaiah, the prophet, back in and said, go and say to Hezekiah, I've heard your prayer, I'll give you another 15 years. The prophet said it was the worst thing that he ever asked the Lord to do. It was the worst thing. He should never have asked God for a second thought. Because you go and read your Bible, the prophet says it in this same message. He says, he messed up the kingdom. He just messed up all of his testimony, all the good that the man had done towards himself and his sons and daughters. When he asked God to go beyond his first and his original and his perfect thought, which was, thus saith the Lord through the prophet to him, for that remaining time that God permitted him to have, it was a permissive will. It was never God's perfect will. I know the prophet does use it in other places, speaking about prayer, that you can change God's mind. But the prophet comes in this message to show you can't change God's mind. God's mind can never be changed. You know, if you ask God something and He shows you His word, He shows you His will, and then you desire something different than that, God looks at the desire of your heart. And if you go back to God now a second time and you say, but Lord, surely that's too difficult, Lord. Or surely, Lord, you'll allow me to do this or allow me to do that. God looking at the condition of your heart and seeing your personal agenda that you have, He'll give over to your agenda. And it's okay, do it your own way. You know, go, it's okay, do it. And God will permit you to do it. But there's always a price to be paid in the permissive will. It's not God's will. The prophet says you will always pay for it. Because God's thoughts, the first thought that He has is always the perfect thought. When we're speaking about the will of God, there's two different words in the Bible to do with the will of God. The first one is what we'd say God's will. The other one would speak about His counsel. Now God's counsel, if God determines something, nothing can change that. The Bible speaks about His determinate counsel. If God is determined to save someone, that person's going to be saved. If God is determined to have a bride without spot, wrinkle, or blemish, it doesn't matter what comes, that's going to come to pass. What God decrees, when He sets forth a decree, when He says that the elect shall never be deceived, that's not conditional. That is fixed and firm. That is God's determinate purpose. So God's counsel that He has, when He determines something, this will be like this, it's going to be like that. Doesn't matter what man will try to do. Doesn't matter the programs of man. Man trying to put things in the way of the will of God. Now once God determines something, that's the way that it's going to come out in the end. But when the Bible speaks of God's will, it's a different word. This word will actually conveys the idea, it says, of God's heart's desire. So God has a desire. God has a will, a purpose for your life. There's certain things that God has in His heart that He wants to accomplish inside of your life. But many of the things of God's heart's desire are conditional. These are not things that are God's determinate counsel. These are things that are determined by our desire. These things are determined by our conduct, our behavior. Though God has a will and He has a purpose, Now the Bible actually says God is not willing that any should perish. But we know there's many are going to perish. There's many are going to go into the lake of fire. So we can see that God's will, that's His desire. It'll never be in the heart of God that He wants people to go to hell. He doesn't want people to go to hell. How can God be just and loving and want people to go to hell? He's not willing that people perish. But if people are going to overrule His word, if people are going to reject His program, if people are going to reject redemption, if people are going to fight their way to hell, they're going to be in hell. But still it grieves the heart of God. Because God is not somebody who rejoices in judgment or in justice or in punishing. God doesn't desire to do that in that sense. That's not His heart's desire. His heart's desire would be for everybody to be saved. That would please Him. It would please you and me. Do you and I delight in the death of the wicked? God says in His word, I delight not in the death of the wicked. He says, why will you not turn from the ways of death? Turn unto life and live. So that is God's will. God's will is His heart's desire. Now it's what He would really love to do inside of your life. So God's purpose for your life, His will for your life, there's certain things that He's determined. But there's certain things that He desires for us. God desires believers to marry believers. That's God's desire. God wants to give you a husband or a wife after His own heart. That's God's desire for you. That's God's will. That's His perfect will. When God looks inside of your life, God wants so many things for you. It would please Him to do those things for you. But many of these things are going to be determined by our conduct. Going to be determined by the way we approach Him. Going to be determined by our attitude towards His word. So many of these things, although God desires them, God has a will to give us certain things. But many times we can bypass the will of God. And one of the things which hinders the will of God, the greatest thing, is our will. Because our will, our heart's desire, what we set our heart upon can be contrary to God's heart's desire. That's when He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. What I'm feeling for you inside of my heart is not the way that you're feeling inside of your heart. The way you're looking at life and the ambition that you have for your life is completely contrary to the ambition that I have for your life. But God will never overrule human will. He'll never do it. The prophet says that. He says if God comes and overrides your will, He has to do it for everybody. So therefore, when God chose to put us on the basis of free will, that you can make your choice, that God will present before us His will, that God will reveal His will to us. But the final decision, the final choice that determines what happens to us in those areas of our life is determined by our decision, by our choice. He can try to persuade us. He can put red lights in our way. He can warn us. He can do so many things for us by His grace. He can put examples before us. He can surround us by others that made shipwreck of their life, others that made shipwreck of their faith as a warning to us. He puts it in His word. All these things happen as examples for us. So all of these things He surrounds us by, and He tries to persuade us by His word, persuade us by His spirit, persuade us by examples and shadows and types, trying to persuade us to surrender that will so that His will can be done, so that His heart's desire can be achieved. Friends, that's what God's will is. He has His perfect will for our lives. And His perfect will is always the best thing for us. It doesn't matter how things look outwardly, but God's will always be the best for a person. God's will for your life, where He wants you to live, where He wants you to worship, what He wants you to do, who He wants you to marry, the kind of calling that He puts inside of your life. God's perfect will, His heart's desire, is always the best for us. The soul of a believer can only truly be satisfied by the perfect will of God. God has made His bride like that. The bride will never be able to be satisfied by anything short of the perfect will of God. The denominations in this message, the prophet shows, they can be satisfied by God's permissive will. He can give them gifts like the great healing revival in the days of the prophet. And those people went out, many going out for money, many going out for popularity. And God gave them a permissive will. God would still anoint them and God would bless them in a measure. And they would have great, great campaigns and great tent meetings. And the prophet comes and shows us all it was God's permissive will. That it was the will of man. It was people with the agendas. It wasn't the agenda and the purpose of God that was being unfolded, but it was the agenda of man. And friends, that's the big question we need to ask ourselves is, if we look inside of our lives, which agenda is being fulfilled? Is it our own agenda? Is that the thing that's supreme to us? Our own ambitions, our own thoughts, and what we want to be, who we want to live with, who we want to associate with. That's a sure way for a believer to have a hard life. That's the life the Bible says that God gave Balaam over, God gave Israel over to their heart's desire when they wanted the meat to come. They were tired of manna. He says, but he sent a leanness in their soul. So the permissive will, God will give you what you're looking for, but it will never satisfy the soul of a believer. But God's perfect will, though it may be the difficult way, it's the narrow way. But because you have chosen the narrow way, a great portion of heaven awaits you. A great portion of heaven while you're on earth. Friends, the fellowship that you have with God in His perfect will, although His perfect will is a harder way, His perfect will is sometimes it takes far longer to achieve certain purposes, going God's perfect will. We were speaking about it to some people the other day, some believers say, you know, when I first came across here, when we came to Ireland, and I tried to set my things in order, my papers, I was perfectly entitled to ancestry in Britain, but there were some problems with my father's birth certificate. It took me a hard time to get things in order. Yet there were people all around me who were paying people money, were lying about certain things, and it took so easy for them to get their things. But friends, it's best to go God's way. God's way is the sure way. God's way is the way that there's no regrets, there's no comebacks in the end. People used to tell me, why don't you try this and try that? I said, no. I said, if God can't fight this battle for me, then He doesn't want me to be here. Because this, if God's perfect, well, somehow in the end, it's going to work itself out. But if I put my will in the way, if I try now to short-circuit the purpose, if I try now to do something to make it work according to my desire, in my time frame, in the way that I want it to work, there's a big, big, definite possibility that I'm going to regret this down the way somewhere. You know, and it's better God's way. It's better God's time. It's better God's choice. But the devil is very cunning on these things because he knows human sense. You know, he knows how much we want things now. When we have an ambition, we want it now. When we have a desire, we want it now. We have our thoughts concerning how things should be and, you know, how we want our lives to unfold themselves. And Satan comes and he offers us all these alternatives now. He comes and offers us his will, his heart's desire for us. And God will be looking down, and many times before his heart's desire is fulfilled in our lives, he puts us to the test. He wants to see what is our heart's desire. Before God will give us his heart's desire, he wants to see what is our heart's desire. That's why he'll put us to the test many, many times. And, you know, we'll be offered all these alternatives and other options which we can follow. But none of those are God's perfect will. At best, that's God's permissive will. At worst, you'll get yourself in a position that you are totally out of the will of God. The prophet says that. We said it that day. He says you've got to be careful because there's people that'll talk you right out of the will of God. People that'll influence you. People that'll come with their ideas. Their better idea than God's word. Their better idea than the way that God wants things to be done inside of your life. And sometimes in our times of desperation, our times of frustration, our times of disappointment, those voices can seem very, very appealing to listen to. When it seems the Lord hasn't manifested himself in a certain situation, in the time frame that we expected God to do it. Friends, it's so very, very easy at that kind of a time to go down lower out of sight of the perfect will of God and trying to look for something that maybe God will permit us to do. And every single time when we do it, we regret it. Because God's perfect will is the only thing that contains the fullness of his blessing. There's no sorrow in the perfect will of God. There's no side effects in the perfect will of God. There'll be no regrets in your life if you go according to the perfect will of God. Because this is God's original thought. This is God's eternal thought for you. This is God's substance that He has for you. This is the plan that He had for you even before the world began. And God wants to unfold it inside of our lives. But there's another way that we can go, and that's the permissive will of God. And the prophet says it in the message when he speaks about Balaam here. He speaks about the danger of looking for a loophole in the program of God. You know, when we want something so badly, and maybe you'll look in the Word and you see, but God doesn't really want you to have that. Or maybe you'll go and pray and it seems like the Lord reveals to you that, no, no, that's not my Word, that's not my will for you. If you're not careful, if you desire something more than you desire the will of God, you'll go to looking for some kind of a loophole. You'll come looking for some kind of a way. And the prophet says it in this message on page 20, does God ever change His mind? He says it's best to have God's will. That's what He taught us. Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come, Thine will be done. We must submit ourselves to His will. That's the key now. There's going to be many times that our own heart's desire is contrary to God's heart's desire. And sometimes you take that precious desire, that precious ambition, that precious something that we cherish inside of ourselves, something that seems so pleasing to us. And when God comes and reveals His heart's desire and says, that's not my desire for you, that's not my will for your life, to be able to submit ourselves at that time. Friends, that's the difference between the bride and the rest. God has put it inside of His bride that she can submit herself because His will delights her. When David says, I delight to do Thy will, O God. There's something inside of the soul of a person who's been born again that you delight to do His will. It pleases you to do His will. It's not something that you have to be forced to do. It's not something that people have to threaten you to do. That's the flesh. The flesh, sometimes we have to beat it down. We have to fast and pray to put it in subjection. That's what the flesh does. But the soul, the heart of a believer, there's something that God has done inside of you through the new birth, that inside of your soul you delight in the will of God. It may be hard on the flesh. It may be hard outwardly. But the moment you make that decision and you lay your will, your cherished desire upon the altar and say, Lord, I offer this to You as a burnt offering. Consume this, O Lord, so that Your heart's desire can be achieved inside of my life. It puts you in such a place of liberty. It puts you in such a place of satisfaction inside of your soul. David said it's like your soul is full of marrow and fatness. You know, when you take that choice portion of the meat and you eat it and it satisfies your appetite. He says, God's will, it satisfies. It satisfies like you've had a great feast. He says, I rejoice, Lord, more in it than when the people rejoice in the time of harvest, when they have a great harvest. He says, to come to that place that you're walking with God. You're walking in His perfect will. That's more satisfying than anything this world can offer. Everything else is temporary. Now you may get in a relationship and you think this is the greatest thing that's ever happened to you. If it's not the perfect will of God, it's going to go sour. It has to. God can't break His word. It's the mutable counsel of God. The only thing God can bless from the beginning to the end is His perfect will. Anything else, what has a beginning has an end, the prophet says. His permissive will has a beginning. His permissive will is going to have an end. Anything which is born out of God's permissive will, it's going to finish, friends. Any friendship that you build outside of the will of God, its days are numbered. Anything that you try to build inside of your life, outside of the perfect will of God, if you are a son and daughter of God, its days are numbered. It's a countdown on the way to God removing that thing from your life. Because God loves you so much that He will not let His children have anything less than His perfect will. And anything that you want to hold on to that's not His perfect will, God is going to deal with that thing severely inside of your life to bring you to the place that that which is deep inside of your soul, the heart's desire of God expresses itself. God will never allow His sons and daughters to be satisfied in His permissive will. God will never allow you to be satisfied outside of His perfect will. So why, friends, do so many times do we seek the permissive will of God? Why are we trying to search for things and trying to find ways to persuade God for Him to do what we want Him to do? That's not the way that it should be. The way that this walk works perfectly is when it gets to the stage that we realize, no, the important thing here isn't what I want done. The important thing here is what He wants done. And that's what we should be seeking in prayers. Father, what do You want me to do? And if Balaam could have done that, he did that right the first time. The first time he went to pray, he went with the right attitude. He went and said, Lord, who are these people? And what do they want? You know, can I go with them? And the Lord told him, you can't go with those people. You cannot curse what I have blessed. And he should have submitted himself. But because there was corruption inside of his desire, there was corruption inside of his nature. When they came back, Satan knew it. He knew this man, though he was gifted, though he was anointed, but he knew that this man's heart's desire wasn't right. This wasn't the man after God's own heart. God is looking for people after His own heart. That means that your heart's desire is the same as His heart's desire. What God desires is what you desire. You don't want anything else but what He desires for your life. But Balaam wasn't a man after God's own heart. Inside of himself, he wanted the riches. He wanted the fortune. He wanted to see what he could get out of this. And now the devil, he knew exactly what to do to Balaam. And he sent princes of greater honor, the Bible says. the second time. Be careful of the second time. Be careful in your life of the second thoughts. Believers shouldn't have second thoughts. When you've sought God, like I've said many times, you get into the presence of God, you humble yourself before Him. You bring yourself into His presence. You bring your requests, your desires before Him. He reveals it to you in His presence. When you come out of His presence, don't have second thoughts. Don't have second thoughts. When the circumstances start going different than you thought, don't have second thoughts. Don't go back a second time now and say, but Lord, no, surely, you know, this isn't really working the way that I thought that it should. That's what Balaam did. Balaam went back the second time because he had a desire. He wasn't satisfied with what God had said. He wasn't happy with that answer from God. When God says you can't go, Balaam inside of himself, he says, why did God tell me not to go? I want to go. He wanted the honor. He wanted the riches. He wanted all of those things. The heart's desire of Balaam, that's what the prophet speaks about. His heart's desire wasn't right. And God could look right down inside of the heart of the man, and God perceived, this isn't right, the desire in the heart of this man. I've told him my perfect will. I've shown him my word. I've given him thus saith the Lord about this situation, but he's not satisfied with thus saith the Lord. Friends, these people worshiping men now, and these people burning the Bibles and that, you know the great mistake? They were never satisfied with thus saith the Lord. They were never satisfied with the prophet and his message. They've gone seeking something new. But the bride will never seek something new. I don't want anything new. Friends, who in the bride wants something new? How can we get tired of the message of the hour? Like I said, just take one book. You might have read this book a few years back. If you're in the right spiritual condition, read that book today and you'll say, but where are these things coming from? I never saw these things inside of here. And every time you get yourself in the message with the right approach to the message, God's going to continue to unfold more and more, because this is the hidden manna. This is the portion of His people that is given us for this age. Friends, it's sad to see people running after new things. And he said, how can they not be satisfied with this? We've hardly even got into done justice to these messages yet. We're just, like I said, scratching the surface of some of these things. And people now want to burn these books and go and look after some opinion of some sinful fallen man who's under some seducing spirit. People want to go after these things. Ah, friends, I just pray God will never allow me to come to that condition. Let me always be satisfied with what my husband says. Let me always be satisfied with his desire. I want to be a man after God's own heart. I might make my mistakes outwardly as a man. I may get too tired sometimes. I may get under pressure like you sometimes. I may make a mistake. I might fall short outwardly. But I always want inside of my soul that when God looks down, he sees my desire. That he sees I'm a man after God's own heart. That's what God is desiring. He's wanting to look down and say, but this man, this woman, this brother, this sister, their desire is to fulfill my desire. What pleases them is to please me. Now, although they might please themselves, but if they're not pleasing me, it's never going to please them. They can never fully be satisfied until I'm fully satisfied. And friends, that's the testimony of a believer. And that's what separates the bride from the rest. The rest of the people are seeking God with their own agenda. No, they want the fame, they want the fortune, the big ministries, they want the money, they want the popularity. No, they want to be on TV, they want all of these kind of things. And there's nothing wrong with those things in themselves. But it's the heart's desire. And the prophet inside of here said, it's like Balaam. He says, all of these big ministries, he said, it's like Balaam. He says, they're doing it with the wrong motive. The desire is not to do the will of God. They never went and asked Papa and said, Papa, what is your heart's desire? I want to do your heart's desire. I remember once reading a tract. It was done by the singer Keith Green. And it was very interesting. And he said, people come to me all the time saying, Keith, because he was a very powerful musician, saying, Keith, how can I become a musician like you? He said, I'm sick and tired of people coming and asking me how they can become a musician like me. He says, where are people who are seeking to say, but what does God want me to be? He says, maybe God wants you to be some unknown somebody out there in the mission fields doing a work for God that only He knows what you're doing. That you never get any public acclamation. You never get any public recognition for what you're doing, but you're doing the will of your Father. He says, where are people like that these days? Everybody wants to be on stage. Everybody wants to be in front of people, you know, expressing. He says, that's not the way that God works. And that's the truth, friends. It's gone after Hollywood evangelism. No, they're following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, the Bible says. You know, because Balaam's heart's desire wasn't right. His heart's desire, but he dressed it up in, you know, like we do many times. When he came back the second time, he didn't come back and say, Lord, you know, I didn't agree with you the first time. But he had a heart's desire. So he was trying to find if there was some way that he could get God to agree with what he wanted to do. Friends, I've seen it so many times in my life. People want to ask questions sometimes and desires. And you can see all they want to do is what they want to do. They're not actually coming to say, what is God's desire for me? They're coming to see if they can get you to agree with their desire for themselves. Our friends, and we do that to the Lord many times. And we wonder why sometimes the prayer doesn't hit home the way that it used to hit home. We wonder why there's no response and the heavens aren't opened in response to our approach to the Lord. Ah, friends, you compare it to the Lord Jesus Christ. Like the brother said the other week, Father, you know, the way he approached God, when that situation was so difficult for him, Jesus, in Gethsemane, the way he approached the will of God. I'll just read that scripture once again. I actually put it down inside of my notes. Let's just read it again. We spoke of it a few weeks back. Hebrews 5 verse 7. But when you're approaching God to know His will, be careful. God's will is a very precious thing. God's will is a very, very fragile thing that's to be treasured. You know, if you don't approach God the right way, He'll give you over and say, it's okay, go and do your will. That's okay. He said that to Balaam. He says, go with them, man. If they come to you again, go with them. And then God stood in the way and the angel with the sword and God is angry. And God wanted to take off his head. And people look at the scripture and say, but how can God tell a man to go and then be angry with him going? Because God first told him, don't go. God at first told him his perfect, original, thus saith the Lord, thought. And friends, the message is God's first thought. It's God's restored thoughts to us once again. We should never be seeking some way to circumvent the message or to find some alternative or some loophole so that we can do what we want and we're trying to find, maybe I can find some way that Brother Branham will justify what I'm doing. That's the wrong approach to seeking the will of God. The will of God, you come humbly. The will of God, you bow down your will. You take off your shoes. You approach Him on holy ground. You come in a very, very sensitive way. It says about Jesus, Hebrews 5 verse 7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. The way he approached that, when he said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. If it be possible. It says he was heard and that he feared. I showed you the other few weeks back. It says, when he feared, the Bible means, it means to approach something cautiously. It means they use this word of a man who's handling something very precious. That if you just mishandle that thing, it's an easy thing to break and you can never get it back again. And friends, when we're approaching God and His will, it's a very precious thing we're asking about. That's the most important thing, is His will. But it's so easy for our will to be so expressive, so much in control, that we come and we don't approach it cautiously, like Jesus did, to say, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. There's nothing wrong with us approaching the Lord the right way and saying, Lord, I don't quite understand this. Is this your will for me? Lord, can you make this more clear to me? Lord, can you confirm this to me? There's nothing wrong with that. But when we have our own agenda and we're trying to approach the Lord and trying to push that agenda upon Him and wanting to make the Lord agree with us, friends, God in His nature, many times when He looks down at that, He'll give us over, say, go. It's okay, go and do what you want. And we reap the reward down the way. We reap the consequences and we say, I should never have done that. I should never have made that decision. I should never have approached His divine will that day. I should have approached it the way that the Bible says I should approach it. I should have forsaken my thoughts first and forsaken my own ways. I should have repented. I should have humbled myself and come before the Lord and said, Lord, you know what's best for me. Lord, what is it that you want done? Lord, not my will, but thine be done. The prophet says that he speaks about it many, many times, about that kind of the importance of the approach to God. He said, how are you approaching God? He says, you can't just go into the courtroom and there's the judge and you say, hey, judge. You can't speak to him like that. He says, if you've got a court case, you've got to approach it the right way. You've got to come, Your Honor, or whatever you call him. No, you've got to approach the bench the right way. You've got to approach it at the right time. And then you're going to get your petition heard. But then the final decision, once it's been made, you've got to accept that decision. You've got to submit yourself to the decision that the Lord, that the judge makes for you. Now the prophet, he gives this example once again when he preaches on rejected king. Let's have a look at that in the scripture. If you go to the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel, when he preaches rejected king, he gives us a real, real practical example once again. It's in 1 Samuel, if I can find it once again, chapter 8. Look at the first verse. It says, and it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, and took bribes and perverted judgment. Okay, so Samuel had never taken money from the people. Samuel, nothing he had said. You know how the prophet says it time and time again, speaking of himself as well, did I ever come and take money from you? He says, did I ever say anything to you in the name of the Lord and it never came to pass? So Samuel had walked blameless before the Lord. And Samuel came with, thus saith the Lord to the people. Samuel had the message of the hour. Samuel was God's will. Samuel showed to the people the heart's desire of God. He would reflect the heart's desire of God to the people. But the people got to the stage, they didn't want it anymore. But they would never come to Samuel and say, no, Samuel, we're tired of you. We're tired of the Lord. We're tired of these things that He's telling us to. We want to have some liberty here. We want to do things our own way. You know, we've been looking at the nations around us. We see they've got kings. We see the way they crown their kings, the way they put on the gorgeous robes. They have extravagant ceremonies. Horses go before the king. He has a great retinue that goes behind us. He leads the people into battle. Now, Samuel, we want to be like that. We want to have something showy like that. We want to have something attractive like they have. They never would have come to Samuel like that because they knew that would never have been accepted. They knew that's not the right way we need to do this. So what they did is they waited until they found an excuse. They waited until they found what they thought was a loophole now. When Samuel's son started doing that which was evil, they said, okay, they must have met together and says, now we've got an opportunity. Now we'll go. Now we want a king. We've always wanted a king, but now our opportunity has come. And they came to him now in verse 4. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel and to Ramah and said unto him, behold, thou art old. It's as if they were caring for him. You know, Samuel, you know, you've done a good job, but we can see you getting old now. You know, we're really, really worried about you. And thy sons walk not in thy ways. There was truth there. Now, make us a king to judge us, like all the nations. Where was the problem here, friends? The problem is his sons weren't walking right. So why didn't they come to Samuel and say, Samuel, please sort out the issue of your sons? That was the issue. What had the issue got to do with them having a king? It had no issue with them having one. But you see, they found what they thought was a reason to push through what they wanted to be done in the kingdom. Be careful of those situations, friends. Because if you're looking for some kind of a loophole, the Lord's going to allow there to be a loophole. If you're looking for some kind of an excuse to do your will, God's going to give you something to justify yourself. And you're going to end up doing it and justify yourself. And say, we're tired of these sons of Samuel. They steal our money. They're dishonest in the things that they do. We don't want these sons of Samuel. Now we'll have our king. It says, verse 6, but the thing displeased Samuel. And friends, Samuel was a reflection of the heart of God. Samuel was God to the people. That's what a prophet is. He's a reflection of God to the people. So when this displeased Samuel, this had displeased God. It says, this displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say to you. For they have not rejected thee, but they've rejected me, that I should reign over them. In all that they said there, you wouldn't have thought they'd rejected God. They'd rejected the word because they came in a clever way. They didn't bring the fullness of what was in their hearts. Friends, when we approach the Lord, when you approach one another, when you approach divine counsel, if you're seeking to know the mind of God, the counsel of God, the only sure way, be honest. Be honest. If you're not happy with something, come and be honest and say you're not happy with something. If you don't understand the Lord's dealings with you, go and speak honestly from your heart to the Lord. Now don't try to find some kind of way to justify it. Now find some kind of a reason and a cause that you can hide your desire behind. Because that's what they did here. This wasn't honest, friends. And the Lord saw it and he says, Samuel, these people haven't rejected you. They've rejected me. They rejected the message. They knew what the word said. They knew what God's desire was. But they so much wanted things to be done their own provided way. They have not rejected me. Verse 8. According to all the works which they have done, since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto me. Now therefore, hearken unto their voice. Howbeit, yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. This was a permissive will. God says, okay, I'll permit them to have a king, but it's not my perfect will. He says, go and show them what it's going to be like. They had this image in their mind of what this king was going to be. They thought this is the end of all of our problems. He's going to lead us into battle. He's going to fight the champion of the enemies. Now he's going to sort out all these affairs in the kingdom. And the Lord said, go and show them. That image they've made in their minds is just their own thoughts. That's not the truth. Go and show them what it's really going to be. And then Samuel came and told them, you know what he's going to do? He's going to impose taxes on you. He's going to take your money. He's going to take your daughters to run his bakeries and all these things because he's going to take your sons and send them out to war. Who's going to look after your fields? You're going to be burying people and all these kind of things. And Samuel came and told them the truth. And friends, the people should have submitted to that. The people should have seen, yes, we've made a mistake in our decision here. We thought this was really a great solution. We thought this was the answer. But God has shown us now that this was never going to work the way that we thought this was going to work. But what did they do? They rejected it. They said in verse 19, "Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel and said, 'Nay, but we will have a king over us.'" Can you see where the problem came in? And then when they wanted to have a king, what did they look for? They used the eyes. And they found this man that was head and shoulders above the rest. And they thought to themselves, "Oh, imagine what the crown will look like on this man's head. Oh, imagine this man going before us." And they didn't know this wasn't a man after God's own heart. They didn't know that this wasn't the right man for the job. But they looked with an outward appearance. Friends, it's the same as us when you want to get married. And we're looking at some beautiful girl at work. Or we're looking at some handsome guy who lives next door. That's what they did. They rejected God's counsel. They rejected God's heart's desire for them. And we do the same kind of things. And they said, "No, we won't have this man to rule over us. We don't want this word to judge us. We don't want this Samuel to tell us what to do and to tell us what God desires. We want what we have in our hearts to be expressed." And friends, the devil's going to give you 150,000 alternatives when you start looking for them. And if you start looking today to say, "Look, I'm really tired of my wife. I'm going to find somebody else." You're going to find somebody before the end of the week. And I'm sure she's going to be more beautiful than your wife. And I'm sure she's going to speak with a better voice than your wife speaks. And she's going to promise you 10,000 things which you think your wife can't offer you. But watch what happens when you get into the relationship. It's never what a person thinks it's going to be. It's never, because God knows what's best for you. Your wife may not be the most beautiful in the world, but if she's God's choice for you, that's the best thing God could ever have given you outside of salvation. She may not have the certain characteristics which the world looks at as characteristics, but we're not supposed to look at the other nations. We're not supposed to make our decisions based on the way the nations make their decisions. We're supposed to be governed by "Thus saith the Lord." We're supposed to submit ourselves and keep us under God's will for us, God's thoughts and God's purpose. But friends, you've got to be careful. Because if you're not born again, this is a very difficult thing to do. If you're not born again, and if your soul, your heart hasn't been changed to conform to the will of God, these are just a lot of laws and commandments that we're putting on you. It's just difficult. Say, "But hey, why can't I wear high-heeled shoes? Why can't I allow my breast to stick out like the other woman? And you know, my posture when I'm walking, mincing down the street?" That's the way that you're going to think as a natural person. But if something's happened inside of your soul, and you find God sends a messenger, a prophet, and shows him a vision, and there's a woman with high-heeled shoes, and she slips off and falls into hell, and the prophet said it's very difficult to make the kingdom if you're going to dress yourself like that, walk in that kind of a manner, there's going to be something inside of a born-again soul beyond your reasoning, beyond what people are saying, which is going to say, "That's the truth. That's God's heart's desire for me. That's God's good thoughts towards me. God loves me. He's trying to protect me. He's trying to keep me from temptation. He's trying to keep me from tempting others and being a temptation unto others." But if you're not born again, if you're not somebody after God's own heart, these things become difficult. Like it did to Israel. They got tired of it. They got tired of being under the message of the hour. And they looked at the others and said, "But look in those churches. They have rock and roll music. Hey, look at them. They pack the stadiums. Look. Look at the way their women dress. They put lipstick. They put earrings. They cut their hair. They go even to church with shorts, with pants and that. And look at how well they're doing." Friends, our standard is never the world. Our standard is never the nations. Our standard is "Thus saith the Lord." That's what we are called to esteem, to aspire after. Is "Thus saith the Lord." The prophet says it here in "Rejected King." He says, there's something about men and women that they long to be like one another. And there's only been one man ever lived on earth that was our example. And that was the one who died for us all, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We only have one example, friends. Why do we love Brother Branham? Because of the Christ that was in Brother Branham. Why do we love each other? Because of the Christ that's inside of each other. What are we trying to emulate in each other or in the lives of the great men? The footprints on the sands of time. Was Christ in those people? Was the manifestation of Christ, how they walked with Christ, how they stayed in the blessing of Christ inside of their lives? That's what we call to emulate in the lives of people. Is Christ, is their walk with Christ. That's what it is. Friends, we're not called to make anybody else our example. We're not supposed to follow anyone. But Satan appeals to the senses. He's made Hollywood. And he puts all of these musicians and all of these supermodels and all of that. And if our hearts are still caught by the things of the world, if they're not regenerate, our hearts are attracted to those things as sure as the world. But now we also know that there's a God. And we also know that there's a message. And we also do want to go to hell. So what do? We try to find a loophole now. We try to look and see, but look, I have this heart's desire. Now I want to do this. Can I find some way to justify myself? Can I find some way to get people to agree with me that I can do this? Friends, people who agree with you to do things that are not scriptural, those aren't true friends. Those aren't true friends. Those aren't brothers and sisters born for your day of tribulation. Those aren't predestinated relationships like David and Jonathan. If you've got friends and they encourage you and strengthen you in that which is evil, leave those friends. Those are Job's comforters. You don't need those kinds of people inside of your life. Rather find someone who loves your soul. Somebody who will deal faithfully with you, even to tell you things you don't like to hear. Because of their love for you. Friends, those kinds of people, they're like Solomon said, I thought sought amongst 1,000 women, I couldn't find one. I thought amongst 1,000 men, I could just find one. That's how it is. Those kind of people are like gold inside of your life. And Samuel was one of those kinds of people. And God gave us a prophet who was one of those kinds of people. When he said, I'll send you Elijah the prophet, we forget the great privilege. When the world is going straight into the jaws of hell. Friends, when hell has opened its borders and is swallowing up this world, Satan's Eden. And God sends us a Samuel in our day. And he cries out against sin and he shows us what's wrong. No matter how unpopular it may be, that is a true friend. That is God's grace to you and God's grace to me. Never get used to the message. Never start looking out there and see the way that they do things. Friends, appearances are deceiving. The grass is always greener on the other side until you get there. Then you find that it's not greener. When Naomi and Abimelech were there in Israel and there came a great famine, what did they think? Oh, we don't need to stay in the message of the hour. Let's go down to Moab. We hear that the people have bread down there. That was the worst mistake ever made. But it seemed such a good solution in their mind. In their thoughts, this must be the will of God. I mean, this must be the will of God. How can this not be the will of God? We hardly have enough bread on our table. How does God expect us to? Surely God will understand. Friends, God has showed us what he understands. It's not us trying to get God to understand us, but it's trying to get ourselves to understand God. That's the important thing. It's not trying to get God to conform to what we desire. It's trying to get ourselves to conform to what he desires. That's what makes all the difference. That makes a difference between the bride and the rest of the world. The bride wants to do his will. The bride wants to walk with God, and you'll never be satisfied with anything else. The prophet says, so they chose themselves a man named Saul, which was the son of Kish. He was a reputable man. You know, he was a real honorable sort of a man. Oh, famous man. Friends, do you know that God had a man in his heart already? But he was a shepherd boy. And he was out there in the fields. He was just a ruddy boy. He didn't know how to speak the king's sort of speech. He didn't have the great pomp and stature of the king. But the people were looking for a solution. They had a heart's desire. And here came something which seemed to fulfill exactly what they were looking for. He was a reputable man, an honorable man. The prophet says he suited the people just right. Because he was a great, tall, noble stature of a man. The scripture said he was head and shoulders above any man in Israel. He was kingly looking. And he was handsome in the face. He was a brilliant and an extraordinary man. But he wasn't a man after God's own heart. Friends, you might find someone, you'll say, this girl has all the characteristics. All I need to do is bring her to church. My friend, wait for her to come to church first before you do anything. You don't get in a relationship with someone and then say, I know, I'll get in a relationship, then I'll bring her to church. Because, you know, she's so good. I hear many times people say, no, but she's so good and she's so kind and all of that, friends. Saul was perfect in all the outward appearances, but in his heart, God knew this isn't the right man. This isn't the right man for the job, because this man's going to put his kingdom ahead of my kingdom. This man's going to esteem his things ahead of my things. Friends, you don't want to marry that kind of a person. Imagine if you've set your heart upon the things of God, yeah? Imagine you are a man or a woman after God's own heart. You're a young person, yeah, your heart is set on God. You want to please Him. Now, the greatest hindrance in your life is to marry someone who doesn't have the same heart as you. You'll never have anything can hinder you greater than that inside of your life. Never. What more can there be? You have to wake up every day in the same bed. You're so close together. All your decisions you're going to make together. All your holidays you're going to take together. All your spare time you're going to be spending together. Which person is it going to be in life which could hold you back more? Your children may go astray. You're not always going to be with your children. But your wife, your husband, it's until death us do part. That's why a son or daughter of God doesn't judge by the outward appearance of people. A son and daughter of God is looking for someone after God's own heart. A son and daughter of God is looking for a person who's born again the way that they're born again. And that God leads them to, and that God is in it from the beginning to the end. Friends, it's a great mistake, this one. But it's a delusion the world puts upon us. Because you get tired of looking around and saying, ah, it's taken too long. You know? I haven't found anybody in the house of God. And the moment you start looking at the nations out there, be careful, because you're going to find a Saul, the son of Kish. And it's going to seem so good at first, but just let the relationship go a little bit further. Keep reading down in the chapters of the Bible and see how the people groaned under Saul. See the decisions that he made and the things that he did, and the people would say, what is going on here? Until even his own son disobeyed him because he saw the foolishness of his decision. Some people aren't saying amen. But it's the truth, friends. God knows what's best. You know, His will, His heart's desire is the best thing for us. His heart's desire may not be for you to marry a supermodel. There's not many supermodels in the message. And most of them, when they come to the message, they don't last more than one service. Because they look at the sisters and say, if I've got a dress like that, I'm not coming back to this place. Or they look and they say, oh, these people are so foolish. Look at the way they respect their husbands. But that's what the Bible says. That's what God's heart's desire is. For women to be submissive. For women to have a meek and a quiet spirit. And for a man to be like Christ to his wife. That's God's heart's desire. God will never change his thought. It's an eternal thought. Doesn't matter how society changes. Doesn't matter how your family changes. Doesn't matter the new traditions in your tribe that are introduced. God's thoughts will never change. That which pleases God will never change. And if you want to be satisfied inside your soul and receive the full blessing, seek to please God. Seek to please God above everything. Do His will with all of your heart and see what a blessed life God will give to you. It may not be easy outwardly. You may not have millions in the bank. You may not have the easiest life. You may not have a society that understands you. You may have reproach because of what you believe. But inside of your soul, you'll be so satisfied that you don't care what other people think. You don't care what other people's opinions are, because He's real to you. And He's blessing you, and He's making Himself known. And He's unfolding His thoughts for your life. And that's what where they made the great mistake. It says, we find the son of Kish, great man, his stature. He seemed to suit the people, that the robe upon him would look great and the crown on his head. Above all the other people as he walked, a real asset to the kingdom of Israel. For the other kings of the other nations would think, oh, look what a man. Friends, I've seen people in this message, a good friend of mine who went and married a supermodel. Yeah? Because he liked to have a beautiful woman on his arm And he was already on the message. And up to this day, if you speak to him, he'll tell you it was the greatest mistake he ever made. That's what Israel wanted. Wanted the appearance of the, we want to have a king that looks like a king. When other nations look at us, they'll say, hey, how great this Israel is. Oh, look at the great king that they have. Friends, but the heart of the man wasn't after the heart of God. And God looked down and he was grieved. Now the prophet actually says it in the church ages. He says, they were the only nation to which he was truly God. God was leading them through Samuel. But one day they got looking around and they saw the Philistines and the other nations with kings over them. It caught their eye. And they decided they ought to humanize their leadership. So they wanted a king. Now, God was going to humanize the leadership himself in the person of Jesus Christ. And before that, the son of David would have come, who was a reflection of Christ. So God wanted the Word to become flesh and a king. That's what he wanted. That's the kind of humanized leadership that he designed. And friends, if you and I are looking for friendship, if we're looking for lifetime companionship, what is the, should we be looking for? Where the Word has been made flesh. We want God to be humanized in these things. We shouldn't be judging by the outward appearance. And the prophet says, but they got ahead of God. When God was going to meet their need, he knew exactly what they needed. He knew exactly how to meet their desire. They got impatient. And they found an excuse. And they saw what Samuel's sons were doing. And they used that as an opportunity to say, no, we want a king. We want to change the system. We don't want things to be like this anymore. And friends, it was a great mistake that they made. A great mistake. I'll finish with one more example, which the prophet gives us when he went to South Africa. Look at the mistake that he made. He goes and teaches us here about the perfect and the permissive will of God. The prophet says in the message, Early Spiritual Experiences, he speaks about how they went to South Africa and how the Lord came. Do you know why he went to South Africa? It was because when he was going through to London to pray for the king and that, they brought that lady Florence Nightingale, the granddaughter of Florence Nightingale, to the airport, and she was there, and she was dying of cancer. You see the picture in the book. She was so thin. And Brother Branham said, Lord, if you will heal her, I will take it as a sign that you desire me to go and take this message to the people in Africa. He says, because I always felt that I wanted to go, but I needed God to confirm it to me. That was the decision that he made. And then he found out that Florence Nightingale was from Durban, which is exactly where God wanted the prophet to go. That's where the most successful meetings were, was in Durban. So the prophet, he prays for Florence Nightingale. He leaves, doesn't know what's happened. Then he finds out that the Lord raises her up. And you see the photo of how she was healed after being just a skeleton of a woman. Then the prophet makes up his mind, let's go to South Africa. Gets Brother Baxter to make the itinerary. They make an itinerary with the national committee there in South Africa. And they get there now and they start in Johannesburg. And that was definitely according to the vision. The prophet showed that was showed by the Lord, go to Johannesburg, go to hunt there with whatever the brother's name was, Brother Sidney Jackson, and then go to Durban. I'll give you the country. That was what the Lord told him. And the prophet gets there and goes to Johannesburg. They start off in the railway station, the old railway station, massive meetings. It's in the newspapers. People are coming from everywhere. The next day, the ministerial associates say, we're going from here. We're going to Klerksdorp. Prabhupada says, going to Klerksdorp? That doesn't make any sense. But anyhow, you guys have made the itinerary. They start going out of Johannesburg. No, sorry. Even before, yes, they go out of Johannesburg, get to Klerksdorp. Prabhupada knows there's something wrong here. He feels it inside of himself. The first meeting, there comes a big thunderstorm. Hail and ice. They have to just about cancel the meeting, get back drenched. The next meeting comes, a blizzard just about blows through. And the prophet starts telling the people, people, we're out of the will of God. How could we leave Johannesburg, where there was a big place for us to meet? Plenty of room, the people had already come, the buses had come. We leave all those people. He says, we've got the favor of the medical association. They've given us their blessing. We've got the favor even of the media, which is very unusual. How can we leave that and come to a little place like this? And they told him, it's because we promised brother so-and-so we were going to have a meeting in his church. Now, What is happening here? There's two agendas. There's the agenda of men and there's the agenda of God. There's the perfect will and there's going to be the permissive will. And it just depends on which agenda is going to have the preeminence, is going to determine what's going to happen in the story. And it's the same in your life and mine, friends. There's your agenda and there's God's agenda. And that's what you've got to make a choice of. To the sons and daughters of God, this agenda, our agenda, is very disposable. It's very temporary if it doesn't match the agenda of God. If He comes and reveals to us, that is not my heart's desire for you. I can never fully bless you in that. We as the sons and daughters of God, if you've got a soft heart before the Lord, you'll say, Lord, forgive me. I didn't even realize that. And we lay those things aside and we follow the perfect will of God. And God blesses us in that. But the prophet has to learn this lesson. So he gets into this house and he's telling the brothers, we need to go back to Johannesburg. I'm not going on any further. And he says, when he said that, he's speaking about, he says, listen closely. He says, that night I went in to pray. And the angel of the Lord came near to me and said, don't go down there. That was God's perfect will, friends. Don't go down there. And I'll tell you God's perfect will. Don't marry unbelievers. Don't yoke yourself up with those that don't yoke themselves up with the word. Don't make friends with the world. Don't emulate the world. Don't emulate the fashions of the world. That's God's perfect first desire, perfect will, is that believers should be separate. Believers should be a peculiar people. We should be separated like Israel so that we can shine forth the glory of God. So in our difference, in God reflecting Himself through us, our different kind of lives, the people around and about us that are seeing that's a fake life that they're living, they may get light from us. They may see a genuine reflection of that which is God's desire. And they'll start to hunger and thirst after what you and I have got as well. But if we're going to conform to the world, what are they going to thirst after? There's no difference between us. But if we are living representatives of God's word, of how we should dress, how we should conduct ourselves, how we should conduct our relationships, how we should conduct our marriages, how we should bring up our children with all of our mistakes, friends. But you don't realize what a reflection that you are. You don't realize what a thirst you create in the hearts of those that are hungry and thirsty around you. You don't realize that. Those people at work that will be watching you. One guy at our work, one director, he came to tell me the other day that he's leaving. He's the one I told you about. He couldn't have children. And his father came and said, please pray for my son. He can't have children. Now they have a daughter. And he came to me and he says, Andrew, I'm leaving. And he started to cry. And he said, Andrew, can I just ask one thing of you? Can I please remain your friend after I go? I said, please. I said, I'll be so happy to be your friend because I always speak the gospel to him. And friends, sometimes people, although they may not yet have made a decision, but if you just speak the truth to them and explain things to them, they start seeing things a different way. They start seeing, but there are things that make sense. And I was so touched by him. You know, I really was saying, hey, if only he can't leave, because he was a real, real good candidate for the kingdom. But I've really seen that. Don't ever compromise. If you compromise with people, you will think you're doing them a favor. You're not doing them a favor. You're doing them a disservice by compromising. Be yourself. Be yourself. Be a real reflection. God made you the way that you are. God has shaped you the way that you are. God has given you the faith that you have, the belief that you have, the lifestyle that you have. We should never be ashamed of this. Be yourself. Now, those that are anointed by the devil, they'll laugh at you. They'll mock you. But the genuine people, especially those that are ordained unto life, when there's that reflection of the word through you, even in those little things, it does something inside of their hearts. It's like when Naomi was down, even backslidden in Moab, but there was a reflection of Jehovah in her home. And Ruth started to see, but this lady's God is a real God. Though they were backslidden, though they weren't living the way they perfectly should have lived. But friends, the greatest thing you can do to somebody is be yourself. Be honest. Reflect to people what God has made you to be. Because you're an original. And God made you that way. So the prophet says, he said, don't go down there. He says, don't you go. He says, you stay right in Johannesburg for 2 more weeks. Go over to your place for a rest, to go hunting. Then you go to Durban and stay there for a month. And I said, yes, Lord. And you should have stayed like that. But the prophet didn't know that he was going to be 9 months not preaching. 9 months. He was going to be 6 months with dysentery amoeba. Imagine. So sick, he could hardly raise his head. Until they had to like quarantine him because he was so infectious with this disease, with this amoeba that got into his bloodstream. And they said, if that gets to your brain, it'll kill you. You'll get a fever. Within a few hours, you'll die. And Brother Ram said, whenever I started to feel a little bit of a fever, he said, I would start to panic and I'd say to my wife, have I got a fever? Because he knew he'd got himself out of the will of God. He'd allowed the agenda of man to override God's agenda for his life. And that's where the problems come in. I'm closing with this. He said, so Brother Bosworth and them, they meet together. Brother Ram goes back and tells them all, calls all the ministers, calls the Brother Furie and all the other ones. And he says, brothers, God has told me I cannot accept this itinerary. And they said, but we've already made the itinerary. We've already published the itinerary. We've already booked all of the venues. You see where the problems come in, friends? When we yoke ourselves up with people that are not yoked up with God, after a while we start getting into complications. Because we'll start finding their itinerary doesn't match God's itinerary. And sometimes we've linked ourselves so closely together, now it's so difficult for us to break that and go and fulfill God's agenda. God's perfect will. Oh, friends. And the prophet got himself caught in a fix. Because what is he supposed to do? He didn't have a ticket to get home, he said. He didn't have money to go and fix to make a new agenda. So he speaks to all the ministers. And Brother Bosworth, he said to him, he said, I told Brother Bosworth, I tell you in the name of the Lord, it's not God's will for us to do this. We're to go to Durban, not to Cape Town. And they said, well, could it then be the permissive will of God? You see what happens when you've got your own agenda already. You see? And then you find out what God's agenda is. If you're not really after God's or not, what are you going to try to do? You're going to try to get people to agree with your agenda, and you're going to take your agenda and try to see, God, please, can you please accept my agenda? And that's what they did. They said to Brother Ram, Brother Ram, go and take our agenda and ask God if he'll allow us to follow it. You see, there was no, Father, not my will, but thine be done here. There was no surrendering the agenda, no matter how much it had cost, no matter all the implications it was. If they'd have just at that time said, hey, God can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask and think. Let's cancel that. Let's do what God is telling his prophet to do. God will restore all of this money and whatever. And God will so bless these things in his will that all of the disappointments and all of the frustrations will long be forgotten because of his glory when he manifests himself in his agenda. That's what they should have done. But because they were so tied in with the program of man, they couldn't change the agenda. And they told Brother Branham, please go and pray. And I said, oh, well. I said, God might permit it, but it isn't his will. Well, the permissive will. So he says, I went and I prayed. And he came to me and said, go with them. Go on. Exactly the same as Balaam. Exactly the same. Except what was different, Balaam's heart was wrong. The prophet's heart was right. But God was teaching him a lesson that he needed to learn. Go with them. He said, but you'll pay for it. He said, you are trapped, but you'll pay for it. Go on with them. I'll give you permission to go, but remember, you'll pay for it. Every single time you're paid dearly in a permissive will. Every time. That's God's eternal principle. He can never bless a permissive will. Never. He can never bless you in it. God can use you. He still used the prophet because the gift still needed to manifest on behalf of the people. So even in a permissive will, the book, A Prophet Visits South Africa, was written. Imagine if that had been a perfect will. Imagine what could have been written. Imagine the potential that was there. But because of the agenda of people, friends, inflexible people who couldn't submit and humble themselves and approach God the right way. People who couldn't see that the Lord was saying, forsake your thoughts. Forsake your ways. They're not my thoughts and my ways. My thoughts are higher than yours, as high as the heaven is above the earth. And the prophet goes to Clark's door, Port Elizabeth, up to Rhodesia those days, Salisbury and that. And he says, everywhere we went, there was segregation. Some places we went to only preach to white people. He says, but when we got to Durban, I understood God's wisdom. It was the only place where they allowed it to be interracial. And the people came in their hundreds of thousands to the racetrack. He says, God knew what he was doing when he said, go to Durban. But imagine all the effort and all the energy and all the finance and that to squeeze out God's permissive will. Oh, friends, there's a great price to be paid. And even on the way when he was there, he started to get sick. He says, I started to get sick. Billy started to get sick. The rest of the party started to get sick. And he says, by the time I got back to America, he said, I couldn't even lift up my head. He was so sick. He said, I went to Sam a day and he said, mercy, goodness, Billy, where did you get this? That was his words. He says, this is an amoebic dysentery. He says, this can be fatal. It's so contagious. But God allowed him to get it. So the prophet says that. He says, he said, go with it. He says, I went and I told them, God has a permissive will. But I never like to work God's permissive will. I want his perfect will. I don't want to work secondarily. I want to know what he wants me to do, and then I go and I do it. That's God's perfect will. Go and ask him, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then go and do it. That's a genuine believer. Not that you have what you want to be done and you're trying to find some way in the message to justify it. You're trying to come and ask, please, no, do you think God will allow me to do this? The prophet said, if there's a question in it, don't do it. If there's a question, if there's something inside of you that's saying, I don't know if this is right, it means it's not right. He says, don't do it. God's perfect will is abundantly known. Now, just to finish off, let's read Matthew 7, verse 21. It really comes down to a very serious point when Jesus brings it. Matthew 7, verse 21. Listen to what Jesus says. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. These are the people that inherit the kingdom. It's those who do the will of the Father. We can come here, we can raise our hands, I love him, and all that, yet inside of your heart, you're desiring things he doesn't desire. Doesn't mean you're a candidate. He can come and he can anoint you, the prophets, and you can speak in tongues and prophesy and come to pass. You can lay hands on the sick and they recover. Look what it says in the next verse. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. I was never intimate with you. Depart from me. You know why? Because they had their own agendas. When they had the big tent meetings, it was their agenda. They were using God's gifts in a permissive will so they could benefit, so their ministry could benefit. Brother Tommy was telling me of someone who came to preach once, a man who was a Pentecostal man. And he said that man came to preach, he was so gifted, he could discern. And he discerned different people in the church. He says, and then he started making a big pool for money. He says, and as the service finished and people walking out, the man was actually sitting at the back of the church counting the money as the people went out. I said, what? Yet he manifests a powerful gift. Friends, that's where the prophet comes and shows us what a message believer is. A message believer is something in your heart. A message believer is, thus saith the Lord, is the most precious thing to you. It's not your agenda that counts, it's his agenda. We're not living for our agenda. We're living to fulfill his divine agenda. This is a divine symphony. And we're wanting to be in the spirit of the composer. We're wanting his will to be done. But friends, sometimes it comes to time of conflict, like Jesus in Gethsemane. When we have our own agenda, the prophet says Jesus didn't want to die. He loved the sunset. He loved to be with his disciples. He said he could have had a wife like anybody else. He was a man. He says, and now there was the divine agenda, the great redemptive agenda. And how thankful we are, saints, that it was not my will, but thine be done. That he approached that great battle so cautiously to say, I don't want to force anything here. I don't want to force my will. Father, is it possible? But nevertheless, if it's not, your will be done. Friends, and you and I would be blessed people if that's the way we conduct ourselves, especially in the big decisions of life, at the junctions in the road of life, in the pathway of life, that we'd approach things that way, to say, Father, not my will, let your will be done. Let's stand. Saints, let's just come to a time of prayer, and then we'll have a short discussion about something, and we dismiss. Let's sing that song, Thy Will Be Done in My Life. Thy Will Be Done in My Life. If that's your desire, sing it from your heart. No, the Bible actually says in Philippians as well, it says it's God who works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Now, if you have the right attitude towards God's will, even if you say, I don't have power to do it, but the Bible says He works in you both the will to do it and He gives you the power to do it. If you just come about it the right way and says, Lord, this is hard for me, but I want to please you, He will give you the power. He will give you all that you need to fulfill His will, because that's His nature. Not that one. It's Thy will be done in my life. Do you know that one? Okay, let's sing this one then. No problem. You know this one better. Never argue with a song leader if you want to be successful in life. Okay. Let's put the other one. Sorry, Brian. Thy will be done.
Jesus, I want to die to my will and be born anew in your grace. For as I am, I cannot please you, and all I want to see is your face. Oh, Thy will be done. Oh, be done in my life. Not my will, but Thine be done. Be done in my whole life. When I do good, when I do good, evil's present. In God's presence, I'm a blessing. I must decrease, He must increase. Your power in me is there, I believe. For this you bled on Calvary. Your price no longer a mystery. Thy will, Lord, Thy will be done. Oh, be done in my life. Not my will, Lord, not my will, Lord, but Thine be done. Be done in my whole life. When I do good, when I do good, evil's present. In God's presence, I'm a blessing. Jesus, I want to die, you must live. In your word, there's grace to believe. I won't let you go till you bless me. Like Jacob, I rest till I'm free. Oh, Thy will be done. Be done in my life. Not my will, Lord, not my will, Lord, but Thine be done. Be done in my whole life. When I do good, when I do good, evil's present. In God's presence, I'm a blessing. Thy will, Lord, Thy will be done. Oh, be done in my my life. Not my will, Lord, but thine be done. Be done in my whole life. When I do good, Lord, when I do good, it was present. In God's presence, I'm a blessing.
Let's sing that song, I Surrender. All to Jesus, I surrender. I surrender all.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will live a life and trust Him in His presence daily live. Oh, I surrender, oh my Lord. I surrender, oh, to Thee. My blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus, I surrender and be at His feet. I bow. Worldly pleasure, all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now.
I surrender,
I surrender, oh, I surrender, oh, to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender, oh, to Jesus, I surrender, make me Savior, holy Thine. Oh, let me feel the Holy Spirit, truly know that Thou art mine.
I surrender,
I surrender, all. I surrender, all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender, all to Jesus, I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power, let Thy blessings fall on me.
I surrender, I surrender all. I surrender all. Oh, oh, oh. Surrender, all to Jesus. I surrender now. I feel the sacred place. Oh, the joy. Salvation, glory, glory to His name. I surrender.
I surrender.
Oh, my Lord, I surrender. To Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender.
Let's bow our heads. Is there something you're wanting to surrender today? You may look in your life and you know you don't have the power, but you have the will, you have the desire. That's what God's looking for. He's just looking for a willing heart, a broken spirit, a broken heart and a contrite spirit. The Bible says He'll never despise. He said, as many as receive Him, to them He gives the power to become the sons and daughters of God. But it all starts within the veil, friends. It all starts with your will. It all starts with that decision that you make. You may look today and say, I regret decisions I've made. I regret where I am. I regret so many things in my life. I know that God has good thoughts for me. I know that God has a will. God has a heart's desire that He wants to fulfill. And I'm just wanting to ask the Lord, say, Lord, forgive me for the past. Forgive me for these things that lay behind. Lord, let the blood, let the crimson stream wash it all away. And Lord, I just long for a new beginning. I just long for a new beginning. Father, it's my will, and I believe that it's yours. If that's your desire, raise your hand to the Lord and say, Jesus, I'm just looking for you today. I'm just looking for you to give me that something, Lord, to do something inside of my soul, that all the days of my life I might look back and say it all hinged on that decision. But He granted me that grace that day. Never since then, things have never been the same. Let's put ourselves a little bit before the Lord, saints. Let's each of us pray whatever you desire. Let's pray for them that aren't here as well, for them that have traveled. Let's pray for Brother Mike's and family, Mike and Dago down in Malawi as well. Let's keep them in prayer when they come back. Let's seek the Lord in prayer while He may be found. Father, wanting to humble ourselves before the Lord upon this day.
You grant us your grace, O Father, Lord God. Be thou merciful unto us, O Lord God. Lord, but in your will be done, Lord, and grant us, O Lord God. We surrender all unto your Father this day, Lord. Have your will, Lord, in your name be glorified. We ask in Jesus' name.
Just ask Brother Max Jr. to pray for us, please, brother.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father.
Yes, Lord.
This afternoon, Lord, we've come, O Lord God. Amen. We've heard, O Father, Thy word, O Lord God.
Yes,
Father,
Lord.
You said, Lord, your children should be hearers of Thy word, but to be doers of them, O Lord God.
Amen.
And Lord,
amen,
this day, amen, we want to do your will, O Father, Lord,
yes,
God.
Lord.
Lord, we come, Lord, with a broken heart, Lord, and a contrite spirit, O Father, Lord God.
Yes, Lord.
We've wronged Thee, Lord, in many ways, O Father, yes, Lord God, and we continue,
Lord,
to wrong, Lord, Thee, Father. But Lord, we know your grace still abound, O Father,
yes,
Lord God.
Lord.
And this day we ask that grace, O Father, Lord God, may come our way, O Father, Lord God, and
please,
atone,
Lord,
for us, O Lord, we ask this day, Father.
Amen.
The Lord, from this day on, O Father, Lord God, we may truly, Father, seek your will, O Father, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Not hours, O Father, but thine love will be done, O God. Oh, to the glory of thine holy and precious name, O Father, that we may truly manifest ourselves, O Lord God, as yes, the sons and daughters of yours, O Father, that you are coming for, Lord, as the bride, O Father, the spotless bride, O Father, Lord, that you are coming for, Lord God. You grant us your grace, O Father, Lord God, over the power, Lord, in this message, yes, you've granted us, O Lord God, in this last age, we just pray, O Father, Lord God, amen, that you may help us to go deep in it, O Father, Lord God, or to fulfill more and more, O Father, Lord God, your will and your desire in our lives, O Lord God. We pray, O Father, your grace upon this church, O Lord, even hallelujah, upon, Lord, this place of worship, O Lord God, hallelujah, for yes, it may Lord be far from us, O Lord God, oh, Lord, that a day of worship, O Lord, we may not gather together, Lord, as hallelujah, your people, O Father, Lord God, but Lord, you provide unto us, O Lord God, for you saw yes it, O Lord, oh, when you created the world, yes, O Father, Lord, you saw it, O Father, when the church began, O Father, yes, Lord, we pray this day, O God, that you amen may draw nigh and lead us, O Father, yes, Lord, in thine own will, O Father, Lord, to the place, Lord, that you want, O Father, for us, O Lord God, Lord, you grant us your oh grace, Lord, committing the saints not be not here into thine hands, O Father, Lord, yes, that Lord you may draw nigh unto them, O Lord God, yes, Lord, that even at this day, O Father, Lord, your word is quickening us, O Father, Lord, I stir it up, O Lord, Father, that in amen your own way, O Father, Lord God, of ministering to your people, Lord, Father, yes, Lord, you may minister to them, O Lord God, yes, in the likewise manner, O Father, Lord, hallelujah, that they might be stirred up, O Lord God, that they, O Heavenly Father, we may come together, O God, yes, in the next Lord meeting, O Father, Lord, just as if we were all here, O Father, this day, Lord, amen, you grant yes us, O Father, your grace, O Lord, Lord, you bless, O Lord, Father, oh, damn, Lord, Father, we've been, Lord God, us that work, our brother Joy, Lord, yes, you bless him, O Father, this day, yes, O God, him, Lord, grant us the grace, O Father, Lord God, the Lord, soon one day, O Father, Lord God, we all may gather, Lord, Father, Lord, oh, away from the toils of the tents of this world, O Lord God, into, Lord, Father, that heavenly amen place, O Father, Lord, yes, in the glorious land, O Father, Lord, oh, walking upon those streets of gold, O Lord God, yes, Lord, you grant us your grace, O Father, Lord, that's our desire, Lord, Father, amen, that's our goal, O Father, Lord God, yes, Lord, and if there be any, O Father, Lord God, that have drifted away, O Lord God, we pray that you may place us in line, O Father, Lord, for the time, O Lord God, is at hand, O Father, Lord God, and this day, O Lord, Father, we want your will, O Father, Lord God, amen, you lead us, O Father, Lord, that you come and find us, O Lord, not wanting, O Father, Lord God, yes, we are lambs, O Father, not trembling, O Lord, Father, but you amen find us ready, O Lord God, a prepared bride, O Father, Lord, grant your grace, yes, O Father, to your church this day, Lord, bless your servants, O Lord God, for they are the shepherds, O Father, Lord God, Lord, we lift them before you, O Lord, O Lord, Father, your lips, O Father, Lord, may it be anointed, O Father, Lord God, that every time, O Lord God, not your words, O Father, Lord, not your will, not your ways, O Father, Lord, but your way, O Father, Lord God, may be always ministered, O Father, Lord, or to your bride, O Lord God, we seek for our perfection, Lord, we seek for our unity, O Lord God, we seek for our oneness, O Lord God, Lord, grant us your grace, O Father, Lord, this day, we thank you for the service, Lord, this hour, Lord God, we bless your name, Lord, Father, we give the honor and the praise, O Father, Lord God, even the rest, O Lord God, is in thine hands, O Father, Lord God, have your way, O Lord, your will be done, Lord, Father, we thank you, we bless your name in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Saints, just be seated for a few minutes here. Thanks so much, Bro Max. Saints, I just wanted to bring the situation before you. I know there's a lot of people not here this weekend and stuff, but we'll speak to them separately. But just wanted to bring it to the church, the situation that we're currently in. Because, you know, I think there comes a certain time, I saw it in the tabernacle with the prophet as well, that it's good to, when you get to a certain point, to bring it to the saints, because these are obviously decisions we need to make as a church. You know, like we've got one more weekend in this place. Brother Will spoke to the landlord, and there's no way we can get anything further than this. So we've got next weekend here up to the following Friday. That's the 31st of the month. So we just have this amount of time. Obviously, everybody's been looking for a new place, and there are places out there. You know, I've been with Brother Virgus. Brother Virgus has been looking around. But the prices, the rents which we need to pay